The next case to be heard is number 2009-320, Board of Education of Olentangy Local Schools versus Knickerbocker Properties. We'll let him worry about that. The appellant is Knickerbocker Properties. Mr. Sleggs.
Thank you. May I please the court? My name is Todd Sleggs, and I represent the appellant, Knickerbocker Properties, Incorporated 42. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal. This is a 2005 tax year appeal involving an apartment project in Delaware County. The complaint that gave rise to this appeal was filed for two very specific reasons: a decrease in income and a decrease in occupancy at the property subsequent to the December 2003 sale of the property. And those three facts were noted on the face of our complaint at the time that we filed it at the Board of Revision. The county auditor's assessment for the tax year 2005 was something less than the 2003 sale price. It was $27,058,900, and the 2003 sale of the property was $27,605,000. When the case came before the Delaware County Board of Revision, the property owner submitted an appraisal by Samuel D. Kuhn, and the Board of Revision adopted the value in that appraisal, which was $24,300,000, which included a deduction for $300,000 for personal property. When that decision was rendered, and subsequent to the expiration of the 30-day appeal period, the appellee, Olentangy Local School District Board of Education, filed an appeal from that decision to the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals. And when that case came on for hearing before the Board of Tax Appeals, the Board of Education submitted what is Exhibit A and included in the supplement, a copy of the conveyance fee statement for the December 2003 transfer of the property. In order to respond to the Board of Education's appeal, the property owner essentially submitted the same case that they did at the local level in terms of Mr. Kuhn's testimony and his appraisal, and then also had Anita Breslin, who manages the property, appear and testify at the hearing. And the Board of Tax Appeals, in its decision and order, overturned the Board of Revision decision and reverted to the sale price of $27,605,000. We've appealed that decision to this court, and we're essentially raising two issues. Under 5715.03, in order for a sale to be used for assessment purposes, it has to be a recent arm's length sale. And we do not believe that the record in this case supports a finding that the sale is recent. As I mentioned in our complaint, we identified two specific items, a decrease in income and a decrease in occupancy, as the basis for our complaint. And Mr. Kuhn's appraisal and also Ms. Breslin's testimony, we believe, support the fact that there was a change not only in the market between the 2003 sale and the January 1, 2005 assessment date, but also in the operation of this specific property. And if I could point the court to a couple of items which we've touched on in our brief, is if you look at the rent roll in the purchase agreement and the supplement, they basically entered into the contract to buy the property in October of 2003. There is included in the purchase agreement, which the seller represents to be an accurate rent roll, dated September 25th of 2003, and the property was 2.6% vacant at that time. There's a January 1, 2004 rent roll on the property that shows the property was about 10% vacant, and then most specifically to the valuation date that's at issue in this case, January 1 of 2005, the property was 16% vacant. Now, the Board of Tax Appeals at page 8 in their decision and order makes a finding that they don't see that the evidence shows any change in the market, but merely a continuation of conditions that existed during 2003. But if the court looks at what they're basing that finding on, I believe it really is a misreading of the evidence. And if the court takes a look at the supplement, and we've cited this in our brief, the Board of Tax Appeals specifically focuses on Ms. Breslin's testimony that interest rates were declining. Well, in the questioning by the board in that particular section of the hearing transcript was really not clear. It's clear to me if you read her testimony that it is her opinion that commercial interest rates for investors buying an apartment project like this were declining. Because in response to the hearing examiner's question about interest rates, she says that mortgage rates are not critical to the purchase of the properties that might be to an individual owner. This is owned by a pension fund, which has cash. So if the mortgage rates were not optimal or did not benefit the property, they could have easily closed with all cash. Now, that's it's very important that the court understand that our position is that the board, in making that finding on page 8, misread her testimony, because the bulk of Mr. Kuhn's testimony and Ms. Breslin's testimony about the market change is that the rates on mortgages for residential properties were what was impacting not only this property but other properties. And you find that in the supplement beginning at page 218 in Ms. Breslin's testimony, where she talks about their tracking move-outs and why people move out. And in 2004, that calendar year between the sale and our assessment date, they had 83 move-outs as a result of home purchases, whereas normally they would have around 30 or 33. And so there was a very significant impact on this property because of the fact that interest rates for residential mortgages had declined. And we believe that the board's finding, essentially rejecting her testimony on page 8 in their decision, misreads her testimony, because the hearing examiner may have been trying to ask her about residential rates, but her answer was clearly that commercial rates were declining during this period.
So the central contention that you're making is that you succeeded in showing a change in market conditions for apartments by showing that it was easier than before for people to buy houses, and so fewer people were renting apartments. Is that the...
Well, yeah, basically that this particular product, this particular apartment building, and if you look in the supplement at page 32 in Mr. Kuhn's appraisal, these are very large apartments. Some of them mm-hmm. are as large as over 1,400 square feet. Okay. And Mr. Kuhn testified that they are comparable to small homes. Ms. Breslin, in her testimony in the supplement at page 218, she talks about the fact that because they're large units, three-bedroom units, two-bedroom units, they have garages, they're two-story, they're very attractive to families. So this particular product is impacted by people who are looking for home-type living. But if they can, for the same amount, purchase a house and build equity and that sort of thing, that is something that would impact the occupancy and the income and the expenses of a property like this. Because she does talk about the fact that because they had this high amount of turnover in 2004, that their expenses because of turnover went up. And Mr. Kuhn touched on that in his testimony, that the net operating income was significantly less than they expected over the period. So we believe that these factors show a change in the market. Ms. Breslin did touch on the fact that they own other garden apartment projects in and around the country, and this was not something unique to this property, but somewhat unique to this property type because of the fact that these are very home-like units, and so they do compete with the residential market for individual residential homes. So we feel that the Board of Tax Appeals really did not have evidence to show that the sale was still recent under 5713.03 for purposes of rendering a value determination.
And in your view, who had the burden of showing what at the BTA?
Well, we believe that since the Board of Revision found value based upon the appraisal and then the Board of Education took an appeal, that the burden of proof, ultimate burden of proof, was on the Board of Education. And we don't believe that they met their initial burden of persuasion, which is to say that the market had not changed over the period. And that, in fact, the evidence in the record, which we go through rather exhaustively in our brief, was that the market had changed and therefore the sale was no longer recent. So we did touch on this in our brief. We do feel that the BTA put the burden on us to controvert the validity of the sale, where we felt that since the Board of Revision had rejected the sale and gone with the appraisal, that when you come before the Board of Tax Appeals as an appellant, you would need to come forward with some evidence in order to shift the burden to the other party.
But let's assume, even if the court disagreed on that point, you'd be prepared to argue that you presented evidence sufficient to show what you would have to show.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think I've already touched on a lot of the evidence that we submitted on those issues. The last point that we raised in our brief was the personal property issue. If you look at Exhibit B to the purchase agreement, there's a fairly extensive listing of the inventory that transferred. As I mentioned previously, Mr. Kuhn valued that inventory, the personal property items, at $300,000 in his appraisal. The county, in assessing for January 1 of 2005, is somewhat below the gross sale price, so I can only assume that they may have taken that into consideration. And then, obviously, the conveyance fee statement does not address that issue. There is that line for other than real property, which was left blank, but we typically find that those are filled out by title companies, and it's fairly common not to have those filled out accurately. But we believe that the evidence supports the fact that the Board of Tax Appeals assessment is capturing the assessment of personal property in this case. We would suggest that the record in this case shows that the Board of Tax Appeals decision is unreasonable and unlawful. And what we're asking for in this case is that the court remand this appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals with instructions to determine the value of the real estate based upon the appraisal evidence and the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Slags. Mr. Gillis.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Mark Gillis on behalf of the Board of Education of the Olentangy Local School District. I'll begin with the burden of proof issue. This court has made clear in the Cummins case that the proponent of the sale need not prove whether a sale is recent or arm's length if it appears on its face to be so. There's been no argument that this was anything but an arm's length sale. It occurred 1 year and 2 days prior to the tax lien date in question. Therefore, the only rebuttal evidence that the property owner could have presented is with regard to its recency. Mr. Sleggs asserts that the property owner's evidence, appraisal evidence, demonstrates that the sale is no longer recent. The sole testimony in this case by Mr. Kuhn that the market had changed is belied by the evidence itself. In his report, he included five sales. One of the sales was the subject. Four other sales were included. Two occurred in mid to late 2003. Mr. Kuhn made adjustments to both of those sales, increasing upward adjustments for time, which is another way of saying he increased those sale prices to account for an increasing market. There were two other sales, which occurred in 2005, shortly after the tax lien date. He made adjustments to those sales as well, downward, because the market was increasing for this type of property, and he had to make a downward adjustment to move it back to January 1st of 2005. So regardless of what Mr. Kuhn had to say about the marketplace changing, his own appraisal demonstrates that there was no rapid change to take this out, the sale out of its the fact that on its face it is a recent sale. When we talk about burden of proof, the Cummins case talks about the proponent of the sale, not the appellant or the appellee. The Board of Education, as the proponent of the sale, merely had to present the sale evidence. At that point, it is incumbent upon the opponent of the sale to refute its recency, which did not occur in this case. With regard to the personal property, there is indeed a list in the purchase contract that includes that lists personal property. There's also an indication specifically stating that no money is being paid for the personalty in the property. Ms. Breslin's testimony.
That's in the contract itself, the sale?
That's correct, which is included in the supplement. Which is in the it's in the back portion of the supplement.
I'll find it.
And was it was outlined in our brief as well, that there was no money paid for it for the personal team. With regard to the testimony with regard to vacancy rates, which was used or attempted to be used to show a change in the market for this particular piece of property, it is indicated that in September the rent roll showed a 2% or 2.6% vacancy. January 1st, 2004, there was a 10% vacancy, which was 2 days after they purchased the property. January 1st, 2005, the vacancy was 16%. However, January 1st, 2006, the vacancy was back down to 7%. It is well settled that property is to be appraised or valued in its stabilized state. To look at a rent roll in September prior to the sale, and it's only 4 months or 3 months prior to to January 1st, 2004, and then only look at the difference between that and January 1st, 2005 is not on a stabilized basis. There will always be fluctuations in vacancy. Furthermore, with regard to the vacancy rates overall, Mr. Kuhn testified and indicated in his report that while the housing market, residential housing market, was becoming easier for people to move into, that was offset for this particular type of property in this area due to the increasing population of the city of Columbus and the surrounding areas, further belying the fact that there was a rapid change in the market to take the sale out of its recent nature. That being the case, it's the appellee in this matter that has failed to meet its burden of proof to refute the sale, and under this court's decision in Berea and in the numerous cases interpreting it, the Board of Tax Appeals was required to take the sale price as the true value for January 1st, 2005. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. Mr. Sleggs, you've reserved 2 minutes and 44 seconds.
Thank you. The Cummins case, which we also cite in our brief, did not overrule the portion of New Winchester Gardens that we also cite in our brief, which essentially says that one of the factors that must be considered in determining what is a reasonable length of time under the statute is a consideration of the changes that have occurred in the market. And that is really the focus of our case as we look at the date of the sale and the valuation date at issue in this case, and we believe that the evidence does show a change in the market. In terms of the rent roll in the purchase agreement, obviously documents are signed to purchase property and then it takes a few months for the property to close. And I think the fact that even during that 3-month period, October to January 1 of 2004, the facts in this case show that the situation of the property did change, but the contract had been signed, it was a binding agreement. Whether the buyer would have backed out, I think, is academic because they didn't. But I think it shows that just between September of 2003 and January 1 of 2004, the vacancy increased about 7.4%. So I think that that's further support for our argument that during this time period, the market changed fairly significantly. And we would respectfully request that the court reverse and remand the case to the Board of Tax Appeals as requested in our brief. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Slags. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.